Okay, you notice a powerful church is a prayerful church. On Wednesday nights, we're in our prayer fellowship, we're talking about prayer. I would hope, that if you're here this morning and you have a relationship with God, you belong to God by faith, you've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, that you would agree with the statement that prayer needs to be a priority for the Christian. That we need to spend time in prayer. We all would say that. I've had individuals through the years say, well, Pastor, I don't really need to come to church and pray with other Christians, and I can pray at home. And that's true, you can. You can pray anytime. But if you say it's not important to gather together to pray, you haven't read the Bible. The Word of God shows us example after example after example of the church praying together. The church coming together to pray. The church battling together in prayer. And sadly, a lot of times, prayer is not a priority for us. I put myself at the top of the list. I don't pray as much as I should be praying. And that's a sin issue that has to be dealt with and confessed and worked on. In our passage today in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John have been hauled off before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council. And we see in verses 17 and 18, so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. When they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. All right, they've had this dialogue. We're not going to read the whole passage. They've had this dialogue, and they said, all right, this is how we're going to deal with it. We're just going to tell them it's forbidden. You can't speak about Jesus anymore. But we see in those next two verses, 19 and 20, Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Jesus Christ had not only changed their lives, He had changed their lips. He changed their language. They said, we cannot help but speak about Jesus Christ. Because of their relationship with God, because of their walk with Jesus Christ, it was such a part of them. They were so ingrained in that relationship, they couldn't help. It was part of their everyday conversation. They couldn't help but speak about Jesus Christ. He was the primary source of their conversations. And in verses 23 through 31 that we're going to look at this morning, we're going to see some things about a prayerful church and how that leads to a powerful church. And we're lightly touching the surface. And when we get into the new year, we're going to start doing some expositional things. We're going to start in Colossians and go expositionally, verse by verse through Colossians. And once we start those series, that's going to take us a lot longer. A verse or two, maybe three on a Sunday. So this passage would take me about 4 weeks to get through if I was preaching expositionally through it. We're lightly touching it in one message. And follow along. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. It says, when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that's in them. By the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. All right, five things about a prayerful church. Number one, they were a prayerful church with one voice. They were a prayerful church with one voice. In verses 23 and 24, it says that when they had been released, they went to their own companions and they reported all that had happened. When they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord. All right, the first thing that Peter and John do after they're released is they go to their friends. This is most likely the group that had been gathered in the upper room. And so this was a group that was devoted to prayer much of the time. And Peter and John come and they share absolutely everything that's happened. The persecution, the threats, all that's been happening to them, all that's been shared with them. And this group is unified. Persecution often brings unity. And in verse 24 it says, they lifted up their voices to God in one voice. In one voice, in one accord. They were united in prayer. They were together in prayer. They had a single focus in prayer. A lot of times I wonder, is one of the reasons that our churches today struggle with unity, struggle with being united and in one voice and together, is because of where we stand in this world. The easiest thing for us to do is to accept what's happening around us. And pretty soon we allow for what's happening around us. And we no longer take that stand for truth and take that stand for what God's Word says. Because as we stand for truth, as we stand up for what God says and we boldly take a stand, it leads to persecution. And persecution leads to unity. You're forced to come together. Years and years and years ago, a very godly man by the name of a preacher by the name of Vance Havner said, if the devil ain't bothering you, it's because you ain't bothering him. And as we stand up for Christ, as we stand up for truth and we live out that truth, it's going to lead to persecution. And persecution leads to unity in the church because we're forced to come together, to depend on each other. It drives us together to rely on each other for strength and comfort and peace and hope. And that's where this church was. They were a prayerful church with one voice. They were unified. They were together. They were on the same page. We also see, number two, they were a prayerful church under the sovereignty of God. They were a prayerful church under the sovereignty of God. The rest of verse 24, they cried with one accord and said, O Lord, it's you who made the heaven and the earth, and the sea and all that's in them. O Lord. That Greek term translated Lord here is used only five other times in the New Testament. It's not the common translation for Lord. This word means absolute master. God, it is you, the creator of everything. It's you that is in complete control. It is you that knows absolutely everything. They were a prayerful church under the sovereignty of God because they understood that a holy God who created everything, a holy God who is in control, a holy God who is all-powerful, knows exactly what they're going through, knows the persecution they are facing. God's not caught off guard. God understands. God is with them in the midst. And anything that is happening, God has allowed it to happen. And so they're trusting God in the process. A lot of times when something difficult happens to us, we say, why me, God? Why not me? You know, God has allowed that for a reason and for a purpose. And here, even though it's a difficult time, even though they're facing persecution, even though they're being hunted sometimes, they say, all right, God, you know. You know because you are in control. As I belong to God, as I'm walking with God, nothing can touch me, nothing can affect me that God doesn't allow. God is sovereign. God is in control. Do you believe that? If you really believe that, we're not going to ask why me so much as what do you want me to learn? What are you trying to teach me? Why is this happening? And not why me, but why so that I can learn and understand and we can work together. They knew God was in control, and that was a part of their prayer life. That was a part of their prayer time, trusting God. Number three, they were a prayerful church relying on the truth. They're a prayerful church relying on the truth. Look at verses 25 and 26. It says, "Who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said." And then what you see in the rest of verse 25 and verse 26 is italicized. This is a quote. They're praying from Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. They're praying Scripture. "Why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ." This was a prophetic statement. And they had seen some of this fulfillment happening in Jerusalem. They'd seen this happen with Christ. They're seeing this fulfilled. They are praying the Scripture. They were praying the promises of God. Listen to me. They had a faith that was as strong as the promises of God. And as they're praying together, they're trusting God, they're claiming His promises. The Word of God and prayer go hand in hand. Time and time again in Scripture we see that. And if I'm going to be effective in my prayer life, I have to know the Word of God. If I'm going to claim the promises of God, I have to know the promises of God. And I'm not going to know the promises of God unless I'm spending time in the Word of God. Unless I'm spending time studying His Word, His truth to me. And I'm relying on the Holy Spirit to lead me into that truth, and I'm trusting in what He shares with me, and I'm claiming those promises that when I feel abandoned and I feel like everybody in the world has turned against me, I can come to God and say, "God, You've promised me You're never going to leave me or forsake me. And I need to feel You right now. I need to know that truth. I need to know Your presence." And I can claim the promises of God as I come to Him in prayer, because we know those promises. We have to be in the Word of God. We have to spend time understanding God's truth, and we have to grab hold of those promises and understand that that is part of an effective prayer life, is knowing God's truth. It's praying the Scripture. It's praying God's truth. That's what they're doing. They're praying the Scriptures. They're praying God's truth. Number four, they were a prayerful church offering specific requests. Offering specific requests. Verse 29. "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak Your word with all confidence." Now, this group that's praying together wasn't intimidated by the threats of the Sanhedrin. They weren't cowering in fear. They asked the Lord, "Lord, You know them, but take note of these threats. Pay attention to these threats. And give us power. Give us boldness to proclaim Your truth with confidence." Now, if this were me and my prayer was recorded in Scripture, I can guarantee you part of my prayer would be, "God, protect me. God, deliver me. God, help me not be arrested again." You don't see that. They're not praying for personal protection. They're just saying, "God, give us boldness to continue to proclaim Your truth." The very thing they'd been ordered not to do. You know, a paraphrase of this would be, they're threatening us. So give us the strength and confidence to do Your will. You know what happens a lot of times in my life and in your life? Because if you're honest, you're just like I am. Is we pray and we provide the answers. Right, we say, "All right, God, this is what I really want, and this is what I think is Your will." And so what do? We go out and provide the answer. It's like this overweight businessman. Kind of looks like me. And he was struggling, and every day was struggling with his diet and his exercise and everything. Finally, one day he said, "All right, I've had enough. I've got to change. I've got to lose weight. I've got to get in better shape." So he had to change everything in his life. He changed his driving patterns because the way he took to work led him by his favorite bakery every single day. So he said, "I got to go a different way." And so it took him longer to get to work, but he drove a different way. And then one day, he walks into work and he's carrying this huge coffee cake. And his workers say, "What are you doing? You've been doing so well. You're losing weight. You're getting in better shape." And he said, "This is, you don't understand. This is a divine coffee cake. This is a gift from God today." He said, "Because when I got in my car this morning, I just, out of habit, I went my normal way. And so I went by that bakery." And he said, "I looked and I saw all these goodies in the window and this big coffee cake. And I just started praying. I said, 'God, it's not an accident that You brought me this way today. You know, and so I think this is your leading. And if it's truly your leading, and you will show me and I will know, because there will be a parking space open directly in front of the bakery. And he says, you know what? The eighth time around the block, there was a spot open. You know, that's how we pray a lot of times. All right, God, we pray and we say we're praying so hard and we provide the answers. We're not waiting on God. We're not trusting Him. We're providing the answers. They were trusting God. And they're praying specifically, God, it's not easy. It's not fun. We're being persecuted. We're being told we can't talk about you anymore. Give us boldness to proclaim your truth. They were praying in the will of God. They were praying in accordance with His will and saying, God, just bless us because we're going to do what you've called us to do. And they're trusting God. Number five, they were a prayerful church visited by the supernatural power of God. They were a prayerful church visited by the supernatural power of God. Verses 30 and 31. It says, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the Word of God with boldness. All right, they said, all right, God, continue to do what you've been doing. Continue to heal and perform those signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And this was happening to confirm the gospel. It says they were filled with the Spirit and they were given boldness. Here the church had successfully faced its initial persecution, its initial trial of opposition. They didn't give in to the temptation to compromise. They didn't give in to the temptation to walk away and quit. They became even bolder in sharing the gospel message. That persecution drew them together as a congregation. Now be careful. We look at a couple verses like this, and I heard a pastor tell me one time, and it was great advice. It says, the book of Acts is such a great book that gives us all this truth and tells us about the early church, but be careful not to build your doctrine off of the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a transition period. It's a transition time. The Word of God had not been completed at this point. And so some of the things we're seeing happen in the book of Acts is not the way God works today. He doesn't have to work that way. Because we're told in Scripture that the moment I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell me. The Holy Spirit's mine. He's in me. He gives me that security. He gives me that indwelling. He regenerates me. He baptizes me. But at the same time, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Having the Holy Spirit indwell me and being filled with the Holy Spirit are two different things. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is being consciously, day by day, yielding myself to the Holy Spirit. Saying, God, you take control. God, I yield myself to you. God, fill me. You give me the words to say. You control my actions. You control my thoughts. I'm yielding to you today. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's that continual day by day process. If I'm going to be effective in my prayer life, if we are going to be effective working together as a body, it's as we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we're praying in the will of God, because the Holy Spirit leads us into the will of God. And we're trusting Him and saying, God, what direction do you want me to go? Now, it's not, understand, it's not, there's a dear, sweet lady who was at this church when I was here before, and I'm not going to give you a name. And she would come into my office once in a while, and she would just say, Pastor, it took me a while to get here today. Because every time I get in the car, I just say, God, you direct my arms. She goes, I go a different way every time. You know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about God here. I'm so prone to take control. I'm so prone to lead myself. I'm so prone to do what I want to do. I'm just giving you control today. And as you lead me through your word, as you lead me through the Holy Spirit in that still small voice, help me to obey. Help me to say yes. Help me to fall in line where you want me to be. I wonder when people look at Three Rivers Bible Church, do they say, that is a church that prays? If they look at your life, do they say, that is an individual that prays? Prayer needs to be a priority in our lives. It needs to be a priority for the church. Getting together, praying together. Coming to the throne of grace. Pleading together, because we're in this spiritual battle together. Day after day after day. Or how many times do you fall into the pattern of you tell somebody you're going to pray for them? And you say that on Sunday. And the normal week goes by and you've been busy and you've done your normal things. And just, you forgot. And then you see him walking down the hallway the next Sunday. God, just be with that situation. You know, you ought to offer a quick prayer and they say, I've been praying for you. No, you haven't. Are we people who pray? If we want to be a powerful church, used by God in a dark community that needs a light, we need to pray. We need to be in the Word of God, and we need to pray. Times when we're struggling, we still need to pray. And we need to trust that the Bible tells us that, you know, Jesus intercedes for us. There was a grandfather who was walking by his granddaughter's bedroom one night. He just stopped because he heard reverently, she's just saying the alphabet. And he says, you know, what are you doing? He said, well, Grandpa, I'm saying my prayers, but I really don't know the words, so I'm just giving God all the letters and he'll put them together for me. That's biblical truth. You know, he intercedes for us when we don't know how to pray. And we have to trust him, please, please. As your pastor, I plead with you. As church members, we plead together, please, make prayer a priority in your life. Pray for me to make prayer more of a priority in my life. To take that time, to make that time to spend with God. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you give us. Lord, there's no debate, there's no question, we need to spend time in prayer. Help us to be more devoted to that communication with you because you want to hear from us. Sometimes that baffles my mind that you want to hear from me, but you do. The Bible makes that very clear. And Lord, we all know prayer needs to be more of a priority. Help us to work towards that. Convict us. Help us to confess the sin of prayerlessness sometimes in our lives. And help us to be obedient to you. Help us to come together to pray with each other and pray for each other because we're in this battle together, this battle against the spiritual forces of wickedness. And Lord, help us to stand firm, just like Peter and John, just like that early church. May we come to you and rely on you. We ask these things in Jesus' name.